Hello and welcome to part two of Choose This Day, a Bible study designed to bring understanding and decision in regard to God and His Holy Word. Today we're going to talk about the second part out of 28. This is the Son of God in the Scriptures. Now Jesus had said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me," Jesus said of himself in John 5:39. Now, as we're going through this series, you can find the notes at revelationwithdaniel.com under the Resources tab in the menu. Open up study number two, and you'll be able to go through and fill in the blanks. So 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And," you can fill in the blank, "one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." And so according to Paul, there's one Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son. There's none like him before. There will be none like him afterwards. He is the one and only Son of God. Well, Ephesians says something similar. Ephesians 4 verses 4 through 6. "There is one body and one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all." And so there is one Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible teaches in John 5:18 that the Jews sought the more to kill Christ because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his, fill in the blank, Father, making himself equal with God. Now, being the Son of God, saying that God is his Father, is that somehow making him equal? Well, in a sense, yes. Like, for example, I have a son, and my son is just as human as I am. And so God, being divine, having a son, his son would be just as divine as he is, and they couldn't handle that one. So 1 John 5:11 through 13 says, "This is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this," fill in the blank, "life is in his Son. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So knowing and understanding who Jesus is paramount to our salvation. I believe you want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want my family to be blessed. I know you do too. We all have friends, we all have neighbors, we have people that we love. We want them to understand not only Jesus, but the truth about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "God, who at sundry times," or in various times, "and in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds." So according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. And we, being in Christ, can be heirs as well, if you look that up in the scripture. And so what we're seeing is that by Christ, God the Father made the worlds. He made everything in existence. So Christ wasn't created. He was begotten, according to the Bible. Now notice, Colossians 1 verse 17 says a similar thing as what Hebrews said. "He is before all things created," that is, "and by him all things consist." And so Christ is the one who was brought forth from the Father, and then the Father created all things through Jesus Christ, his Son. Hebrews chapter 2 talks about Christ becoming flesh. Notice what it says, verses 14 through 18. "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and he would deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham," or the nature of Abraham. "Wheretofore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So Christ actually became a man. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 that a body had been given to him, of course, by the Father, so that he could live as a human. John 1, verses 1, 14, and 17 talk about that as well. In the beginning was the Word. We know that's Jesus. We'll learn it in a minute. And the Word was with God. That's the Father. And the Word was God because he was brought forth from God. Notice verse 14. And the Word, which in verse 1 was with God, was made flesh. We call him Jesus Christ. And he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. What kind of glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ came to this earth as a human so that he could teach us how to live for his Father. Notice what it says in John 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example, you can fill in the word example, that you should do as I have done to you. Now 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 25 talk about this. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You can put that word in. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, Romans chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, talk about what happened during the time that Jesus died for us. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, which was the Father, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So Christ died for our offenses. Anything we have done contrary to God's law, Christ died for. He paid for. He's willing to suffer. He was willing to suffer. He did suffer. And he has paid the price for those things. Now, being raised from the dead, he allows you to be justified. Imagine the phrase, just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. As though you've never sinned. So Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So we can see in Psalm 68 that Christ was willing to suffer and give gifts unto men, even for those that have been rebellious. I know I have been rebellious, but God is amazing. He is merciful. He is caring, as we learned in our last study. And he is willing to receive any of us, taking us and blessing us in the life of his Son. So Ephesians actually picks this up and talks about the same thing. Ephesians 4 verses 8 and 10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So Christ is the one that has been blessed. He is the one that wants to bless you. The Bible teaches that God the Father sent the Spirit of his Son so that he could be in our hearts crying, Abba, Father. 1 Timothy 2:5 talks about there being one God. And you can fill it in, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Son of God became the man Christ Jesus, somehow mysteriously blended in one human being, Jesus Christ. And through that experience, he was enabled to be the mediator between a holy God and you. Every one of us have sinned, every one of us have fallen. And so we have a mediator between a holy God and an unholy humanity. Jesus Christ is there. He is willing to bless you. And the Father is willing to bless you through his Son. In fact, it was the Father's desire to send his Son in the beginning. So it's really God's plan that is saving all of us. Hebrews 8 verses 1 through 5 says, Now of the things we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Jesus Christ is in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, the one that is up in heaven, which the Lord pitched and not man. You see, in the Old Testament, we can learn about the heavenly sanctuary by the example of the earthly sanctuary. Christ is actually in heaven, ministering before his Father right now while we are listening to this video. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So when Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood, it was so that our sins could be remitted. But remember, it was the Father that loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And so the Father wanted to save you. The Bible teaches that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "To the praise of the glory of God the Father's grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in his Son, the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So I rejoice in the fact that because of Christ having been willing to live and die, and the Father resurrecting him from the dead, the Father being willing to listen to Christ on my behalf, I praise him for that because I can be accepted in the Beloved. I can be blessed in his Son. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain something so important, you can fill in the blank, mercy, and find grace to help in time of need." So according to the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, we can see that the atonement, the Day of Atonement, was played out. The better you understand what was happening in that ceremony, the better you will understand what Christ is doing right now for us. The sanctuary in the Old Testament actually illustrates greatly what it is that Christ is planning to do, that God the Father is planning to do through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the heavens, in the sanctuary, right now. Notice what this verse says, Leviticus 16, 16. "And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgression in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness." So God is so willing to take that which is carnal, that which is dark, that which is contrary to his will, and make an atonement for it. He is willing to bless us, and I am so grateful that God is merciful and willing to listen on our behalf through his Son to our salvation. So as a result of studying these verses together, we can appreciate the idea of the second fundamental principle, which says that there is one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal Father, the one by whom he created all things and by whom they do consist, that he took on him the nature of the seed of Abraham for the redemption of our fallen race, that he dwelt among men full of grace and truth, lived our example, died our sacrifice, was raised for our justification, ascended on high to be our only mediator in the sanctuary in heaven, where, through the merits of his shed blood, he secures the pardon and forgiveness of the sins of all those who penitently come to him. And as the closing portion of his work as priest, before he takes his throne as king, he will make the great atonement for the sins of all such, and their sins will then be blotted out, according to Acts 3:19, and borne away from the sanctuary, as shown in the service of the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament, which foreshadowed and prefigured the ministry of our Lord in heaven. And there are some verses that are mentioned at the end of that fundamental principle. But I am so grateful that you have been willing to listen and understand with me more of the grace of God displayed through the life of Jesus Christ, summed up in this fundamental Bible study called Choose This Day. Make a choice for God. Choose right now, and he will accept you. Thank you for being with us at RevelationWithDaniel.com.